Good morning. Well, we are in a series we've been doing, yes, Family Life Hacks. We've been walking through this together each week, giving us some life hacks to have better homes and better families. We're going to continue that again today. But first, I want to remind you, we've been kind of getting ready for an event that's going to happen here a little later in our church's day. On our Sunday, we're going to have our 3 o'clock event. We've been inviting you for several weeks now to be a part of it, what we're calling our vision time and groundbreaking event. What will happen is at 3 o'clock today, in just a little bit, we'll come in here and I'm going to share a few things with you kind of about our church, where we're going in the future, and then also spend some time. We'll go outside then and talk and do the groundbreaking and be out there together. So that'll be all happening at 3 o'clock. If this is your church home, we definitely want to invite you to come and be a part of that. I also want to tell you that as a part of this kind of new construction and where we're going as a church, we're going to endeavor over the next kind of couple of weeks and months to really help our church. We're going to go on a journey together, help our church be in position to meet the need of what's going to be coming our way and our community with the new facility. And so we're going to take several weeks to walk through this together. That's going to start, this little journey we're going to go on together is going to start in about 2 weeks. We're going to finish up this series next week, and then the following week, we're going to go on a journey together as a church. Here's just kind of a little bit about that journey. Watch this video.
At New Wall Church, our vision is to unleash new purpose in every life through Jesus Christ. We're watching that vision come alive, both in our own community, through our ministry partners in the Dominican Republic. God is moving and lives are being eternally transformed. We started in the YMCA in 2006, and then in 2015, we moved to this location. And I have loved watching over the years, seeing all of the commitments to Jesus, thousands of baptisms. We are undoubtedly in a move of God. He's counting on us to be trusted with this location, this church, with all of the people moving into our area to be the church that can reach those people. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's Ephesians 3:20. Over the next 2 years, we're believing God for immeasurably more and what he will do through us and what he wants to do within us. We're trusting that God wants to do immeasurably more healing, transforming, and empowering of every adult, student, and child at New Wall. When we come together in full partnership as a church, just imagine how much more God can do, immeasurably more, in our community and beyond through his local church. With our collective surrender and generosity, we believe God will do immeasurably more.
Yes, I hope you'll go on this journey with us. We're kind of really through some behind-the-scenes work. We're not just looking to, okay, we're going to have this building that opens up one day. You know, we want to be ready for when that happens. And so as a church, we're kind of beginning that journey now to make sure that we get ready. Join us over the next couple of weeks as we go through this together. Something our church always does together multiple times a year is we gather for what we call groups. And small groups are happening right now at our church. And so if you have been a part of a group before, this is your time to get reconnected in a small group meeting during the week. Our fall groups are in sign-up phase right now. We just opened it up, and we've already had hundreds of people signing up for groups. If you're not familiar with what groups at our church are basically the other half of our church. We say this all the time. If you just come and attend on the weekend, hey, good job. That's half of what our church has to offer, though. There's a whole other half being offered during the week, especially through our groups and the things that we offer during the week. So you, if you're not already thinking about being a part of a group, do that now. Start thinking about being a part of a group. If you want to know more information about the groups, because we have men's groups, women's groups, we have co-ed groups, marriage groups, all these different types of groups, if you're interested in being a part of one of those groups, you're just not sure like which one to choose, which night of the week, there is an information table down the hall on your right-hand side there. The group's team is all ready to answer your questions. They've got catalogs they'll give you that list out all the different groups and times, things that they're dealing with in those groups. And then Also, we have the website, newwalk.church, that is available for you to go and check out the same information. Of course, you can sign up for a group as well. So I hope you'll take time to do that this week, next week, get connected into one of our groups, which will start in about 2 weeks. We are in this journey together, growing in our family situations, trying to maybe get some new information in our time together, get some new information about how to grow in our families and our homes. And today is no different. Today I'm going to mostly be talking about what would be our deepest love relationships, and in particular, marriages. All right, so we're going to have a little bit of time talking about marriages. If I'm dishing out some information, you say, man, I don't know, I'm not married, this doesn't apply to me. Look here, if you want to get married one day, you should take some notes, because you're going to get some really good information for the future. Those of you who are married, of course, I hope you'll pay attention as well. And when I think about what God wants to do in our marriages, I go all the way back to the resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does, you know, that have to do with marriages? Well, it has to do a lot with marriages. You know, we have this moment in history that we recognize, the resurrected Jesus, where we have BC and then AD. And those days on our calendars and how we recognize years now going forward are all centered around this incredible moment in history. Again, the resurrected Jesus Christ. I'm always fascinated when I hear like somebody says that, well, I'm an atheist. And then every day they have to sign a date and write 2025 on it. And every time you write 2025, you are recognizing this moment in human history when Jesus rose from the dead. And so either way, you have to process that in your mind. But when you and I think about the resurrection, we know that the resurrection gives us forgiveness of our sin, life eternally. It's a model of what Jesus has done now for what Jesus... It's not a model, it's what Jesus has done for all of humanity, so that we might know that our sin could be forgiven, so that we might live this sort of resurrected life, this eternal life. But as a part of the resurrection, something else is offered to us. Not just the forgiveness of sin, not just eternal life, and if that was it, that would be amazing, but something else as well. God tells you and I, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, as a believer in Christ, you now have access to that same power. And now, folks, when you are struggling in a marriage, it is that power that can resurrect a marriage. There are some people here in this room, your marriage needs resurrected. And I have good news for you. There is a power that can indeed resurrect your marriage. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 says this. It says, how tremendous is the what? Power, and it is available to us who believe in God. The same power demonstrated when Christ was raised from the dead. If Jesus isn't in your marriage, you don't have this power. If you are a believer in Christ, you have access to this power. You know, it's true that over time, you know, we get married, and then if we're not careful, you know, marriages begin to kind of wane. They begin to kind of fade in some of its luster. You know, you go down the aisle, very exciting, but then in time, things begin to kind of fade. There's this old story about this couple that first got married. The first year, you know, the spouse was ill, and it goes kind of like this. In their first year of marriage, you know, she was sick, and so he said, hey, baby, listen, I am worried about the sniffles that you have. So I called the paramedics. We're going to rush you to the hospital. We're going to take you there. We're going to get you checked in. And I know, baby, you don't like the hospital food. So every meal you're in the hospital, I'm going to cook you up a beautiful meal and bring it to you. That's the first year of marriage. Second year, hey, honey, listen, I don't like the sound of that cough. And so I'm going to call, kind of get some advice on what to do. Let's get you tucked into bed. Third year, you look like you've got a fever. Why don't you drive yourself down to the walk-in clinic, go get yourself some medicine while I watch the kids. Year four, hey, look, let's be sensible. You know, once you get the kids fed and once you've bathed them, why don't you do the dishes and then get yourself into bed? And then by year five, it goes like this. My goodness, your cough is so loud, I can't watch the show on Netflix. Why don't you go into the other room? Because when you cough, it sounds like a barking dog and I can't hear the television, right? This is kind of sadly how the luster of marriage begins to fade. And so I want to help you with that and the hacks that I'm going to kind of give you for healthy marriages. Don't miss this. I sit across from so many people and they are hurting and struggling in their own marriage. And the reason they are is because they watched unhealthy marriage in their own home. And when they grew up, healthier outcomes for families and futures are all determined on how well we do in the marriage environment. And so this is a critical piece. We can't go back and redo things and fix things, but what we can do is choose to live better going forward. Before I give you the kind of hacks to help, let me give you what I call hacker jackers. Things that will steal the goodness of a healthy marriage. And so there's three of these I'm going to give you real quick. Here's the first one. What will take the luster off a marriage when we don't understand that there are going to be unexpected differences that come up? It turns out, and this may be news to some of you, but the person you married may be a little different than you thought they were at first. And so then what do we do when we realize that we're different? So that's the first one. Here's the second one. We have unmet needs. She has needs, and she wants to express them, but she doesn't. And he has needs. He wants to express, but he doesn't know how. And so we simmer in these unmet needs, kind of holding them in. And those unmet needs, they cause stress in our own lives and in the marriage. And then here's the third one, unforgiven mistakes. One, somebody in the marriage or the other person, both of you have made mistakes or bad choices or just said things and done things in the marriage that they're mistakes, and it puts a strain on the relationship because, well, we're not going to address them. We're not going to seek forgiveness. We're not going to get healed. We're just going to simmer in them day in and day out. And so if I was to sit across for many couples, one of those three areas is going to be the area, sometimes it's like all three, but it's going to be the part of where, okay, this is a struggle that we're dealing with right now. So I want to give you the helpers for those. I do want to say, though, that many times when I'm sitting with couples who are broken, I hear them say, "We're hurting, Pastor Gary, but I don't feel like there's any hope. We feel hopeless in the marriage. Pastor, I have no more energy left to deal with this brokenness. Pastor, we are on empty together." And I hear that a lot. And of course you are, because you've come to the end of yourself. But that's not where the end, that's not, that you're just now in position to understand there is a power that can come in and take your marriage to another level. And it is the power of God. Yes, you're tired, but God is not. And he has the ability to strengthen a marriage. He resurrects marriages. And so we're going to go through this together. One other thing I thought we would do before we get started is for those of you that are married, it might be cool to kind of stop right now and let's rate and score your marriage. Won't that be fun? Let's do that. So what we're going to do, I put a little God scale in your marriage, like how are we doing with God's power and strength in our marriage together right now. And so we're going to go through, I'm going to give you time. Those of you who are, if you're not married, you can kind of sit back and maybe laugh at others or whatever. Maybe you were married and you might rate like this is kind of, I know where we were and why we hit so much brokenness along the way. But for those of you that are married, we're going to do this little God scale, and it is a God scale. And here's what I mean is like, how are we doing with God together in our marriage? So if, let's say, neither one of you are believers and you're married, well, it's a zero because you don't have God in the marriage. So that's the first thing. It's kind of a helper. Let's say you're married, all right, but the person you're married to is not a believer. You're still going to be pretty low on the scale because, again, you're both not believers in Christ. It's possible both of you are believers, but there's really no infusion of the power of God, kind of show up at church here and then, but you're not growing in your walk with God. You're not praying together. You're not strengthening with God's help together. And so there's a kind of brokenness because of that. So you can consider that, or maybe as believers, you know, God has really got your marriage on the move. So you utilize those kind of reminders for how to rate yourself. I'll tell you, the first time that my wife and I kind of did this, it may not surprise you that my number was much higher than hers. I said, my, you know, I mean, because, I mean, come on, look at me. I mean, we're probably, I won't give me a 10 because that would be not, but let's say like 8 or 9. And then I look over and she's like debating between 4 or 5. It's interesting. Sometimes as guys, we have this loftier view of how we're doing. But let's take a little time, and don't be the guy that's married here with your spouse and doesn't do that. That would doesn't rate your take the rating. You know, like everybody that's married, you're here. Let's participate. I'll give you a few seconds. Go ahead. All right. Well, pens down. Take those scores and go home. I'll see you next week. And no, let's give you some helpers here, wherever you are on that journey. Some helpers, some kind of hacks for marriages. And so I put this in your notes: marriage hacks for healthy marriages. Here's the first one in your notes. Hack number one: learn to discover God's power to understand this, the depth of your spouse's differences. We're different. We get married, we're different right out of the gate. We just are. It's male and female. We're different. So we know that, but it's one thing to know that we're different. It's another thing to want to discover the depth of all of those differences. And there is a depth to those differences. To understand, like this person I've married, they are different in all these ways, and I want to know how different we are so that, again, with God's power, we can work together through our differences. And so it's quite the thing to decide in your marriage that this is something you want to dig into and discover. I hear people, they get married, and they say, I just don't understand him. I just don't get her. I just don't, Pastor Gary, I don't understand what I'm dealing with here. Welcome to the club. We all go through this in marriage because we do, because we're different. We just are. 1 Corinthians 2:11, no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what they're really like except the person themselves. And so you've got to get to know that person more deeply. Before Sean and I were married, I think probably we thought in many ways, oh, we're so much alike. Oh, we're so simpatico. Then you get married, and then you realize, my goodness, we're different. And you see this all the time. You know, people get married, you know, opposites attract kind of thing. Yes, we're opposite. Yes, we're different most of the time. It's like that because, again, God, and I love this about God, he made us unique. He made us individually. He didn't make any two of us alike. So it's not possible. You know, men are not like women. We're different completely, but also men are not like other men. And women are not like other women. We've been uniquely designed. So that means in marriage, we have to work through that uniqueness. It's interesting how God makes this kind of like together, some of these opposites. You know, sometimes I wonder, like, is he up in heaven just kind of like, oh, this is going to be fun? You know, no, he's not. But it kind of feels that way sometimes. Like you inevitably see somebody who's an early riser marry somebody who wants to sleep in. One person in the marriage wants to go to bed really late, and the other one wants to go to bed really early. Somebody in the marriage is very daring and impulsive, and the other person is cautious and reserved. One likes to play by the rules, and the other one says, forget the rules. One of you loves to talk, and the other one is like a bump on a log. You don't like to talk at all. One of you loves to spend money, and the other one is a saver. One likes to cuddle, the other one's like a porcupine. When it comes to sex, one of you is like a firecracker and the other one's like a dud. But anyways, when it comes to sex, one of you is drop everything and the other one is drop dead. Reminds me of the story about the guy who came home from work and he meets his wife right there at the door, and she's there, and right when he walks in the door, I think I shared this one other time, right when he walks in the door, he gives her 2 aspirin. She says, what are these 2 aspirin for? He says, I just want to get out ahead of this headache that you're going to have in a couple hours, so why don't you take these right now? Anyways, All right, so we know that one person might be organized and one person might be very unorganized, like me. We call those people flexible. We're flexible. We're flexible people. Our differences aren't wrong. We're just different. And so we now, with God's power, all right, we know that we have this ability when we learn each other's differences and we grow in those differences. We know as we, you need the power of God to do this, but then I know that, you know, I'm going to strengthen her in her areas where she's not like me, and she's going to strengthen me in areas where I'm not like her. And with the power of God, this is what's amazing. God gets infused in that, and in those weaknesses and in those strengths, they're kind of merging and unifying and growing together. That unit, that couple together becomes more strong than they would have been on their own. Only God can do that, and God gets the glory when that happens. And it's how marriage glorifies the power of God here on earth. My goodness, our marriage went to this level and we were so different. God does that. The truth is, the more differences you have, the greater potential you have for growth in your marriage. And so this first foundation is that I'm gonna dig in and I'm gonna understand our differences. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, you husbands, you should what? Try to understand the wife you live with. That's good advice, and really women the same, but that word try is a skill. To try to care and understand our differences, that's a skill that you put into action time and time again in your marriage to overcome these differences. I want to learn more about you. We know this, that not only are men and women, we just kind of know on the surface, of course, we're different. Biologically, every cell in our body is different. Women mature faster than men, but women have slower metabolism. Women behave differently than men. We think differently, but sometimes men assume that this woman is going to think like a man. And sometimes women think that this man is going to think like a woman, and they don't. The fact is, a man thinks, or tends to think, in a way of his, the way he reflects on life is through his mind and his thinking. The way a woman reflects in her life is often born out of, like, feelings. And those two kind of ways of reflection produce different results. I'm just talking about all the differences and understanding it along the way. In the end, you want to know, okay, God, how does this work? It says this in Proverbs 24 and 3. Homes are built on the foundation of, here's how it happens, of wisdom and understanding. Oh, you don't know how to get the wisdom and understanding to know the differences of your spouse? The Bible is clear. God is not withholding wisdom and understanding from us. God says if you will seek him and you will seek his word, you will get understanding. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all. He's not holding back. Go ask him and he will give you the power to understand this person that you're married to. When I don't understand how to deal with something in my marriage, I go to God's word, and he's got the owner's manual right there, and I can understand more deeply. That owner's manual is God made marriage, God made love, God made sex, and so that's where we go to get the information that we need to have healthier homes. Here's the second hack I put in your notes for marriages, is you got to discover God's power to fulfill your spouse's needs. Again, God made marriage, God made love, God made sex, and he has made it so that you and I together, like in our marriage, husband and wife, we are meant to be able to satisfy the needs of that other person. It is God's purpose to see that that happens, that we're meeting each other's needs. 1 Corinthians 7:3, the man should fulfill his duty as a husband, and the woman should fulfill her duty as a wife. And then each should satisfy each other's needs. It would be nice, men, if we just automatically knew all the things that she needs and we just picked it up by osmosis. But we can't. Ladies, it would be so nice, wouldn't it, if he just automatically knew all the needs that you had and he just picked it up somehow, miraculously. No. We have to share this. We have to talk about this. We have to like have conversations about this. I shared a couple of weeks ago, most marriages are just on the surface. They don't talk about depth. They don't talk about needs. They don't talk about hurts. They don't talk about struggles. They don't talk about their past, their childhood. They just keep, we're so busy. It's so chaotic. We just don't have time for deeper conversations. And part of deeper conversations allows us to know what the needs of the other person are. This person we're married to. So what, I want to know her needs. Sometimes we just have to be very, very clear. Ladies especially, we need you to draw pictures or something, you know, because men, we're just trying to understand this, but we need to be able to have the freedom to tell each other, this is my need for this marriage right now where I'm at. It reminds me, I read a story about a guy who was struggling in his marriage. His wife was upset. He didn't know what was going on. She seemed very bitter. And so he took her to a counselor. They went together. They sat in front of the counselor on the first day. And they go through this session. And she doesn't say anything. She is so upset, she doesn't say a word. I said, well, let's try again. So they go to the second session. Sit down with the counselor. Nothing. She's not talking. Third time. Fourth. Still not talking. Finally, on the seventh visit, they sit down in front of the counselor. She's not talking about this marriage. And the counselor says, all right, stand up. So she stands up. He gives her this big hug. Says, now sit back down in the seat. She sits back down in the seat, and she just starts talking, just like that. She starts sharing and talking. And the husband's like, wow, counselor, that's really incredible. And the counselor said, yeah, if she gets a hug 7 days a week, watch how maybe she changes. And the husband said, well, I can bring her into you for the hug on Monday and Wednesday, but I'm busy the rest of the week, so I don't know. Like, no, I want to know what's happening. I want to know how you're hurting. And so I want to do my part to come to you and say, tell me how I can help you. We're on these different wavelengths, and so we don't understand. We got to bridge that gap. It's the power of God that helps to bridge that gap. I was reading online about two movie stars, Hollywood stars, that got married, and they were talking about how they dated for 2 months, and that 2 months was just infatuation, and then they just decided to get married, and they were having success now years later in their marriage. And in the interview, they were talking about how they found that success, and she starts talking, and she says, you know, when we got married, we realized we had to learn. And we learned this, and I had to learn this, and he starts in the interview, and he says, and I learned, and I learned, and what was the word over and over was learn. They were learning what they needed to learn to make that marriage healthy. 99% of what you need to know about that person you love so much will be discovered after you're married. And so you have to take time to know those things, to learn those things, to care about investigating those things. Philippians 2:4. Here's the key line, caring about the other person's need. Philippians 2:4. Look out for each other's interests, not just for your own. That is a verse that spells out why we have so much divorce. Most people are not interested in caring about the other's needs. They only want to care about themselves. And we see that like time and time again. A mark of maturity in your life is when you cross over this line to start caring about others. Sometimes it's so hard. I'll sit in front of somebody that wants me to give them advice on their marriage. And sometimes, maybe I just want to blurt out. I don't do it sometimes, but sometimes I say, why don't you just grow up? Because it's all about you and your selfishness and your own desires. At what point are you going to cross that line from immaturity to maturity where you start caring about the needs of that other person in your life? You know, we play this game in my house all the time. I don't know if y'all do this as well, but it's late at night. It's time to get into bed. I get into bed. I'm just about ready to get comfortable. And my wife says, did you check all the locks on the doors? Y'all play this game ever? I don't know if you do. It's really fun. But the way it works is like she's feeling a little insecure. Like she's not sure. And you're like, I think I locked them all, but I'm not really sure. Well, that's not good enough. You know, like, did we lock all the doors? Is the trash out? That kind of stuff. And so in that moment, I have a decision to make. My wife values security and safety. That makes sense. I value just being comfortable in the bed. I got to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to go help her meet her needs, or am I going to sit here and say, well, you go do it? Well, no, those types of decisions, I want to make that decision to meet her needs all the time. And that's just one decision that I might have to make time and time again in a day to say, okay, how can I put her ahead of myself? Sometimes I get this right, sometimes I don't, but I want to focus on this journey of becoming more and more caring about what her needs are. I put this in my notes, it's not in yours, but before we're married, we say, what can I do for you? What can I do to please you? After we get married, we say, get it yourself. It's called immaturity. It's in our culture. It's in our nature. It's being shoved in our face all the time. It's all about you. Put yourself first. You're number one. I've shared that. How do we know that putting ourselves first is such a big deal for us in our lives? We just want to be number one all the time. I've shared this before, but the illustration is this. Let's all take a group photo, and I send you the group photo, and the first thing you do when you get the photo is look at you in the photo. Am I smiling? How's my hair? What do I look like, right? Because it's all about us. And so we had to move past what culture's doing, what we've pushed in our lives, and say, okay, what about the other people? Philippians 2:13, God who is at work within you, he will give you, here's what God will do with his power, he will give you the what? The will, and he will give you the power to achieve his purpose. In other words, God is not going to ask you to do something that he will not also give you the power to do. He will give you the power to win in this area of your life. Look, when your life is running dry, when you are on empty, when you feel like you can't do it any longer, this relationship, when you are fatigued and you have nothing to give, this is just the right time to say, God, no, no, no. We're not giving up. God, we need your power, and I believe that power can help me meet the needs of my spouse. And here's the third one. Discover God's power in your life to forgive your spouse's mistakes. We've got to learn how to forgive each other. And I can tell you, I gave you hack one and I gave you hack two. None of those are going to happen if this is not happening, number three. There has to be healing from past hurts, or you will not discover their unmet needs. You will not know the depth of the differences that we have because you're so blinded by bitterness and brokenness. There has to be a time where there's healing so that we can dig deeper into the marriage. And let me just give you a couple of reality facts about marriage, and maybe this will help you. Fact number one, you may have discovered this, so this is probably the easiest one. You are married to an imperfect person. That's fact number one. Fact number two, this may be a struggle for you, but you ain't so hot yourself either. And so you got your own set of problems. And now we get two people that are kind of messy or a lot messy, and now they marry one another, and of course they're going to do things intentionally, unintentionally, things to hurt one another. And in that, you have a choice. Are we going to just rub salt in it? Are we going to ignore it? Are we going to just be bitter day in and day out? Or are we going to move day in and day out towards healing for whatever happened in this marriage? Proverbs 21 and 19. It is better to dwell in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Better to be in a desert with a quarrelsome, angry husband. In other words, who would want to live that way? God says, you don't have to live that way. I'm going to give you a power so that you can heal, and we don't have to live in this sort of quarrelsome way of operating. Philippians 4:31, let there be no bitter resentment or anger, no more shouting or slander. Let there be no bad feelings of any kind among you. Don't hold on to your hurts. Some of you have somebody you're married to that has made a major mistake in the marriage. They have, or a lot of other level mistakes in the marriage, and you have made a decision that you are not letting them off the hook. And if that is you, you are killing your marriage. You have become an unpleasable spouse. And no matter what they do for you, how good, how nice, how kind, romantic, and gentle, you've got a scale working and they haven't done enough. And you've decided to continue to stay bitter. you're keeping score. And your scorekeeping is killing the marriage. That's why in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, it says that love keeps no record of wrongs. Because if we do, it just blocks everything else God is trying to do inside that marriage. And let me just tell you a little bit about hurting and forgiveness. I wrote this in my notes, and maybe you'll catch this and you won't miss this. Let me just say this. No one has ever hurt me more than I've hurt Jesus. No one has hurt me more than I've hurt Jesus. No one has ever disappointed me more than I disappointed God. Because anytime I've sinned against God, the Bible says the wages and the punishment for that sin is death. That's how big of a deal it is to God. And I did that to God. Now, but because of Jesus, I've been forgiven of that. And I've been set free from that. But that's the overriding lens to how we operate in our relationships. And we talked about this, you know, a few weeks ago. But what we do is we put the lens of how much God has really forgiven me. And so maybe a part of the reason why you're not forgiving well right now is because you're not immersing and understanding how much you've really been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You've been set free by God. And so now, how can I offer that to my spouse? At the end of the day, when we start talking about marriage and what we can do to enhance the marriage that we have in front of us right now, we understand this. It's the simple truth. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greenest where it's watered the most, when it's taken care of the most. And so what God would say to any of us who struggle in marriage would be, how about putting the investment in and doing your part to where you are right now in this marriage? And so maybe as God is revealing us these hacks and scriptures, we're going to take these and put them into action. Those of you who are married, again, if you're not married, you've gotten great advice and wisdom from God's word about how to do better when that time comes, do better than some of us have done along the way. Let's pray together. Lord, man, thank you, God, in the resurrection. God, thank you in the resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. We didn't just be forgiven of sin, have eternal life. And if that's all you did, God, that's plenty. Then you decided to give us power, resurrection power, for our lives and for our marriages. So right now, maybe, God, there's a couple, a married couple here in this room, and they're both believers, and they have access to this power. Maybe they're recognizing they just haven't stepped into this power and strength, and God, they're making a commitment today to say, we're gonna live in this power going forward. God, maybe there's a spouse who's here by themselves because their spouse is not a believer. Man, you can't control what's going on with them, but you can do your part. The things we shared today to point them towards Jesus by your own life and the way you care for them and understanding the differences and the way that you want to meet their needs and the way that you forgive them. You can model Jesus in the marriage. Maybe you're here today and you're in a marriage and you are not a believer in Christ. Maybe you're here today and you want to be married, but you're not a believer in Christ. I just want to be clear. Though I want you to have this power in your life, if you are not a believer, you have no access to this power. None. It's all on you. And so maybe as you're seated, watching online, you say, man, I want access to a strength, a power for my life, for my marriage. Well, the Bible is clear that if you want that access, you have to have a relationship with God. And you can't have a relationship with God until you've been forgiven of your sin. And the debt has been paid for your sin. You've just got to decide to receive that forgiveness. Jesus Christ on the cross receives the punishment for all of humanity. Blood is shed for the forgiveness of sin, that for all who trust and believe in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven. They can have a relationship with God. Then comes the power for your home, for your life, for your family. God, maybe there's somebody right now that's just surrendering to you. Marriages, surrendering to you. Husbands, wives, surrendering to you. We turn to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.